In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Don't Blame Me, where we give you wonderful, amazing, life-changing advice that changes your life.
Oh my gosh, what a jaw-dropping experience that y'all are about to go on.
Gird your loin.
Jaw-dropping, and maybe even panty-dropping.
Do you know something I don't?
No.
Oh, okay.
We just are that exciting.
No, we really are. Are your nipples hard right now? Maybe we just say your nipples are hard. Your nipples will get hard. And you're like, I'm at work. Please don't do this to me. Well, if you are brand new here, we are Megan and Melissa, and we give advice. And you might be wondering how we're qualified to give such life-changing, amazing, earth-shattering, world-rocking advice. And to that, I would say, keep your head down. Don't ask questions. No, what I really would say is what we lack in credentials, we make up for.
In opinions. But the answer also is because we said so. Like,
yeah. Why are you so up in my business?
And we've been doing this strong since 2017.
Do you mean to tell me that you are doubting women during Women's History Month?
That's, right.
And right off the end of February? This is sounding like a you problem.
Right.
We're better just here ever. Existing, working, and it seems like you can't let women be talented.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Diana posted on our Instagram in response to the post that you recently made about healthcare stuff. And she said, happy International Women's Day to everyone privileged to have been in the same room as a woman. And I like that a lot.
And to that I say, amen.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that all of my mobile games are now themed Women's History Month.
Yes.
Is fucking crazy to me.
Yes.
It's like, So fuck. They're like, would you like to buy a women's history pack so you can get this sticker to make your outfit for your character? Like, and I'm like,
how about you just give all women that are playing a whole bunch of free stuff? How about that?
Hey, women, want to give us your money to commemorate you being a lady? And I'm like, what? Like, it's so fucking weird. So fucking weird.
Yeah, but I do feel like Monopoly, very progressive. And even though this is a game about...
It is also a critique on capitalism, which is
it is. It's a critique on capitalism, but like in every different board city that you go to, there's usually a pride flag somewhere hidden in amongst the stuff. Yeah.
There was also an entire board that was just gay. And I was like, ooh, and I was so sad because it was at that point where you've got,
where you had so many.
Yeah. And I go, I don't even get to hang out here. And I love that. It's a little West Hollywood. I was like, I'm loving this.
San Francisco was also very gay.
Oh, gay. Yeah. Very gay. And then they do a lot of ice creamy pastel ones, which are all just trans flag colors. And I was like, I'm loving this. I always end up being like stuck on the ugliest levels. And I'm like, this is not fair. Like, I'm
you can go back and just look at it if you look at the map.
Yeah, but I don't look in the past. I'm always moving forward on that grind. It's what I do. Hey, it's what I do.
I just took money from you. Oh. Rent money.
Oh, okay. Mats and I, this is how you know it's a true sign of a healthy relationship. We will text each other before we heist each other's banks to be like, spend all your money, because you still heist even if they don't have any money. Mm-hmm. And we do that, except because he's been traveling for work, I give him so much less time. So I say, Mats will literally call me or text me saying, hey, heads up, you're my next bank heist to spend your money. When I land on it, I will text him and say, you're my heist. I'm in your bank right now. You have 5 minutes. And then, no joke, 15 seconds pass. And I say, too late, Rob. And he's like, I'm in a meeting. And I was like, well, he's like, why are you even asking? And I was like, I mean,
I'm just, it's like a courtesy.
Yeah. I'm just not honoring, giving him any fucking time to do it. But that's okay. Are you rolling?
Yep.
Rawhide. Rolling.
You just came up on my shutdown. I'll switch an opponent to a random person.
Thank you. If you guys want to play Monopoly with us, head on over to our Patreon, because we trade cards. We all play with each other. Right now we're in a partner event. And I have to say, I got my partner invitation requests. And when I see Soraya and Mary there, I go, oh my God, you mean I'm a desirable person to partner up with? And I had an open spot, which I requested for Mats, because I'm like, I will just tell him, just do all of your roles on this. Like, just focus on ours. Anyone else's is fine, because he and I completed it so quick last time. But then what pops up in my inbox? Request from Charity. And I said, fuck you, Mats, throwing you to the bat. I'm getting my girl on airplane mode. She's did you up not in here.
Did you not see the message she sent us?
Which
she's
one?
DM'd us and said, can I partner with you?
Oh my God, I didn't see that. But yeah. Charity, just know, I had saved that spot. I had requested Mats. No, he's kicked to the curb. That bitch wants to partner with me too fucking late.
Well, you should check your messages, because it's in the group message that we have on Instagram. And she explained something. I'm a casual player, so I don't know all the intricacies of what things mean. I'm just here, you know, rolling and going. But she has some strategy for what she's doing.
Oh, and I will check that out expeditiously. Yeah.
And so I don't know what she's talking. I just said, I don't know what you're talking about, but whatever. I'm here for it.
Charity and I both do a lot of the strategy play, except Charity has the leg up in the fact that she can do math. And so she's able to do things that I could only hope and dream to do.
Yeah.
So I will check that out. The strategy's been good. We had a strategy on the last one, not the partner one, but one where I was like, I think I'm on the right side for the Peggy drop. And she goes, I'm left side. And I was like, really? And then I discovered then I think everyone, it's like split 50-50 of people who, like, their luck is on either side. So if that didn't interest you in playing, I don't know what will. It's a great time. Every day is a good day. And Scopely, I know you don't need the press.
No.
But we would love We would love to partner with you.
Love to partner. I also play Marvel Strike Force that y'all have as well.
You're part of the Scopely family at this point.
I'm part of the Scopely family.
Anyways, I guess we should explain how you participate in this podcast. You can leave us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. And you can also send us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can submit an email to meganpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can send us a DM on Instagram by Megan and Melissa.
Right? Nope. Just Megan and Melissa.
So sorry, everyone. We've changed it. I've changed it so many times. And this is the one that we wanted. And for some reason, it's the one I can't fucking remember.
It's been that way for a long time, too.
We actually got what we wanted. And now I'm like, I can't even remember. So yeah, we listen to your voicemails or your voice notes or read the predicament that is happening in your life. And then we give you advice to the best of our ability. But we need you to give us wonderful voicemails, voice memos, and DMs so we can give you the best advice. So make sure that you are 18 or over, have your parents' permission. We do ask that you include your age in it as well as your pronouns if you would like. But if it's about, the story involves somebody else or multiple people, please give them like fake names. We obviously will not use your real name as well, but include their ages. And if it's about a relationship, how long you've been together. If there's like a very important backstory that, like, if it's about you having beef with someone and like what's happening now is like kind of inconsequential, but you're like, but it's because we have like a history of beef. You have to give us like a TLDR, like give us a rundown. Don't just tell us we have a history of beef. We want to get really good at paint a picture, paint a character for
us. We need to hear it because we can't give the correct advice.
And we want to be on your side, like without a doubt, like I would love always to be on your side. Mm-hmm. But we do give tough love because sometimes the best thing you can do and the thing that really shows you're on someone's side is tell them if they're being wrong. So if that happens, it might happen to you. So make sure you give us all the information so we're not misjudging the circumstance of the situation. But also let us know if you're sensitive because we'll phrase it differently. Mm-hmm. Be kind. And yeah, and again, if you have extra time, you don't need to include your zodiac sign, but I always would like, if you have extra time, include who would play them in a movie. If we're blowing up our life for some dude, tell me he looks like Maluma. When someone did that, I said, say less. Okay, sure. That's fine. But if you say, I'm blowing up my life for the Bad Bunny lookalike from the J-Lo movie, I'll have questions. I'll have stipulations.
Did you start watching the documentary?
No, I was watching it's a really good question. What was I watching?
I literally asked you in the last episode, what have you been watching? You said nothing.
No, I know.
Because Mots isn't here.
I think it was a podcast.
Okay. It's probably Trixie and Katia.
Okay. Reading the filth, because you're actually correct. That's what I was watching. And I was like, what was I watching? Because to me, I'm like, it's just like hanging out with you. Like, I'm like, it's so a part of my day that I forget that I'm like, oh, I actually don't know those bitches. That wasn't a conversation I had with a friend. You're right. No, that's exactly what I was watching. And I watched Katia's, she's got a like podcast show with Grindr. Mm. And as somebody who used to be a part of the Grindr family by proxy, I always love to see what they're doing with social. The amount of Grindr merch I have, Grindr pop sockets, all of it.
Just Grindr pop socket together as a phrase is wild.
No, and that's why Grindr making pop sockets was a great choice.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we get into the advice?
Let's do it.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I am 23 years old, and I have been with my boyfriend for almost 2 years. It's probably important for you to know that I have an avoidant attachment style and some definite prominent avoidant tendencies. However, they are really part of my identity and my interactions and relationships. And I really don't see a problem with them. So an example of this is I am really someone who dates to date and doesn't date to marry. But what that means to me is that I am fine having multiple long-term relationships. All of my relationships have been like 3 years or so. but I'm not going to marry the person. And I usually tell my partners this before we begin dating. So my current boyfriend knew this. I said I am not someone that dates to marry, and he said that he was. I said, well, one of us is going to have to change our minds. Anyways, we've been together for 2 years, and recently he brought up the idea of moving in together, and it's something that he really, really wants to do. And he is also someone who wants to get married and wants to have children, and on a kind of traditional timeline, whereas I am fine being probably never married and not having kids. And if I were, I think I would want to get married in like my 40s. I don't want to get married early. But ever since he's brought this up and I acted really weird about it, I felt myself pulling away, because planning for the future is just a really big avoidance thing for me, a trigger. I'm also seeing a new male therapist who seems to think that me not wanting to move in is an avoidant tendency, which, sure, maybe it is. I don't see a problem with that. I don't think that I have to move in with a partner, especially when I know that it will probably be the end of our relationship, because I work so much healthier with a lot of distance between us. Let me know what you think. Thank you so much for listening to my call. Thank you.
I don't know how much like research that you've done into attachment styles, but as someone who has an avoidant attachment style as well, it is like not, I don't know, like it's something that like I, like my identity is rooted in a way that I view as like healthy or whatever. Like I do think of all, I mean, this is the only attachment style like I've ever really had. And so there are parts that like, I still have this attachment style, and it will show up in like friendships and like my everyday life and like who I am as a person, in the sense of like, there's a lot of overlap with being avoidant and having ADHD, like, or being like neurodivergent. Like there's some overlap there. So, but I wouldn't be like, oh, that's a part of like who I am in a way that is, constructive, because you don't have to want to settle down with someone. But then that's like a choice that you're making, not a, I'm running away, I'm avoiding this because of X, Y, and Z. Because putting the work into like your attachment styles is just super important, because it's about having like healthy relationships. So I would like separate the two for you. Because if you're cool with this being your attachment style, being avoidant, like you're not going to be happy in any, like in like friendships or whatever it is. And like, again, like it still comes up. I still deal with it all the time. Like it's still all that, but I don't view that as something that it's just like, oh, it's the way that I am, because I don't like want it. It gets better and like it will change, and it goes through these like ebbs and flows. But not wanting to be on a timeline or like not wanting to like do X, Y, and Z, you're allowed to just not want that and not have that because of it's like, you're an avoidant person. Like if you don't want to change that, it might be hand in hand that you have an avoidant attachment style, and also like you don't really want to get married. Mm-hmm. Like those things can both coexist. But I think if you frame it in the way of being cool with this attachment style, I would really look at like the point of view of people who've experienced relationships with people with avoidant attachment styles. I recently got on a subreddit like that, and I was like, oh, that's horrible. Like that is really awful to be on the other side of that, and like what that feels like. And you might read that and be like, I resonated with it, because I was like, there are people I've dated and friendships that I've had or whatever that I'm like, oh yeah, they could have written this about me. Like that's, and it doesn't make me feel good. But if you look at that and you go, no, that's not how people would talk about me, I think you can recognize that like two things can be true at once. And attachment styles are something that are usually a response to like your life experience and for a lot of people, like trauma. And so in having healthier relationships and healthier attachment styles, it is healing your trauma. It is like healing things that you've gone through, and it's growing. And resisting that is like not beneficial for you. And I want to say, like, I don't think that you're actually necessarily doing that. I just think that you might be combining two things. You might be combining a personality trait that you have and like your wants and desires with, oh, there has to be a psychological explanation for this versus I just don't want to do it.
Right. Like some people just don't want to get married. And you obviously are one of those people, and you're like, maybe in 20 years, then I'll be ready. But like, depending on like where you come from, where you live, like it might be the norm for people to get married at a certain time. Like there's a timeline, and it's like the norm for everybody to like want to get married, or people don't necessarily want to get married, but because everybody else is doing it, then it's expected of them. And you may seem like the outlier of that, especially with your therapist. I don't know if like your therapist giving that information was necessarily the right information. I'm no therapist, but I don't know if that's necessarily the right information for you if you just don't want to get married. It was just kind of like, you're like, I've only been in like long-term relationships, and you're 23. So I'm just curious, how many long-term relationships have you been in? And even like the person that you were dating before this, like marriage was already being talked about if you had made it known that you weren't dating to get married. So that was somebody you were with when you were like 21, and how long were you with that person? So, it might be like the situation and people that you're around that are influencing you to pressure you to get married, and it just might not be for you, and that's okay. And I think that, you know, just hearing from other people that don't want to get married, it might help you with that. Maybe finding a community online or elsewhere of people that aren't necessarily in the area that you're in, to know that like getting married is a choice that some people make, and it is not necessarily a choice that you want to make.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I do think you need to be a lot more direct in your wording, because I think if the other person called in and like swap, let's say like some girl called in and like, oh, the guy I'm dating, we've been dating for 2 years, I want to live with him. And he said, I date to date, I don't date to marry. And it's like, well, I do want to get married. It's like, well, one of us is going to have to change our minds. I would go, that's kind of a dick thing to say. Like, that's an asshole thing to say, because it's kind of, it's pushing off the blame and the expectations of you. So it's like, well, when I disappoint you, I've already given you kind of like a fair warning. And that's not fair to either of you, because he's not going to give you what you want either.
Yeah, it should be a deal breaker up top. If you're with somebody and you go on a date and they said, I'm dating to get married, then that should be it. That should not be somebody you should be with.
Yeah. And I also don't think the phrasing like, I'm not dating to marry, is the way to say that I don't want to get married, because those don't mean the same thing. Mm-hmm. Usually, and it depends again, like you said, location really matters with how like people have phrasing, like hooking up means sex where I grew up. A lot of people hooking up means kissing. Like there are different terms that have different meanings where you are. But saying that like I'm not dating to marry is like I'm having fun while I'm dating. Like I'm not looking to get married in the next year. I'm having fun. And if I find someone, amazing, great. But I'm not like, oh, my clock is ticking, I need to find a husband tomorrow. Like people I know will use that phrasing, and they want to get married and they want to have kids. Like it's not that. So I do think being upfront and saying like, I just want to let you know before we like go out or anything like that, that I am not interested in getting married and I'm not interested in having kids. I have done like long-term relationships before. And then I would say like, I would totally see myself with a partner for like 20 years, like saying what you want and like what you expect of that. But I think the phrasing is opening up like, well, one of us is going to have to change our, like, oh God, that's, And I think for you, you were like, well, I'm not going to change my mind. And he's like, well, I'm not going to change my mind. But when you throw that out there and it's like, well, I gave him a warning, caution to the wind. You gave him like a challenge. Like you gave him something that it's like, if I'm good enough, maybe she'll change her mind. And I don't know that you were actively trying to change his mind, but he probably heard that and was like, okay. And yes, both people are responsible for that. But I do think, I think when you're not clear and concise and decisive in your language, at least for me, like I need people to be very direct. Like I'm not always great at like reading in between the lines. I think you're doing both of you such a huge disservice. And if living together is also a deal breaker for you, you also need to add that in. You also need to say that, because like not wanting to get married, totally cool, totally fine. But for a lot of people that, and like not wanting to have kids, totally cool, totally fine. Not wanting to get married doesn't mean to someone that, oh, that person doesn't want to have kids. And then not wanting to have kids doesn't mean that that person doesn't want to get married. And then not wanting to have, get married or have kids doesn't also mean, oh, I never want to live with someone. So like you have to be super, you have to be really direct with that language, because people aren't mind readers. And I think it is it might feel frustrating because you're like, well, why do I have to say all this when other people should say that that's what they want? Like something very traditional. Like, unfortunately, like relationships have like a very clear trajectory in like a heteronormative way. They're like that. Like a lot of the time, specifically women have to say, oh, I don't want to have kids, because everyone just assumes you want to have kids, you're going to have kids. And I think if you do not take it upon yourself to be like, this is what I want and this is what I'm looking for, and it's actually a deal breaker if this is not also what you're looking for, not only do I think like you're hurting other people, I think you're hurting yourself. And I think it becomes, if this is attached to your attachment style, not just your personality and what you want, I do think I don't think that's healthy. Like, I don't think it's healthy for you to be, and I've done this, where you put yourself in situations where it's not going to work and you know it's not going to work, and then you wait for it to not work and then it doesn't work and you're like, see, I told you it didn't work. And it's like, okay, well, at least for me, I'm like, bitch, you picked that. You picked that thing that didn't work that you knew wouldn't work. So then when it didn't work, you could feel shitty about it. Like it was avoidable in that sense. And there's a lot of like hurt we can't avoid. And I think, and there's a lot of hurt we can't avoid, like hurting other people. But I think when there are ways that we can, I do think like it's our duty to protect ourselves and other people, like their feelings and like their well-being in this kind of instance. And I don't think you're being like truthful with yourself either. Not saying that you want to get married or whatever, but like if that's what you want. And so like, I wouldn't water that down to other people to make it more palatable or to like expand your dating pool. I think you'll be missing out on someone who wants the exact same thing that you do.
All right. Let's take a break.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And we are back from our break.
Hey, Megan and Melissa. I am 19 and use she, her pronouns. Let's get into this. So I am currently at college in my hometown and still living at home. It is my freshman year. I am working slash paying my way through school, so I decided to live at home. Big mistake. I am feeling so smothered by my parents. These should be fun times and partying, but my parents still think I should be home at certain times when I go out. They question my whereabouts, and I feel like I can't just let my hair down like most kids my age. My dilemma is money. My parents are paying half my tuition, and I am paying the other half. My worries are if I take on more hours, I won't have time for studying, which is what is most important to me. I am not taking out loans because I am looking to the future. But if I did, I would be able to afford an apartment. Cost of living isn't that high where I live. I'm not sure what to do. My parents don't really mind me moving out or taking out loans. It's my personal preference. What would you suggest? Unfortunately, you have no say in that household because you aren't paying any bills. If you're not paying for anything, maybe, you know, if you want to feel some type of freedom from them, offer to pay a bill or something and in exchange for your freedom. But at this point, you want to save money. So you have to weigh the options here. Do you want to have the life like other college students are having that you want? Or do you want to be more financially responsible and be at home and have to live under your parents' rules? I took option where I took out loans and went to school. I have a lot of student debt, but I will say I'm better for my mental health because of it, because I did not want to stay at home. I think it's just a choice you have to weigh, which is more important to you. You said that setting up your financial future is more important for you. So then you just have to suck it up and let it be what it is. And then after you graduate from college, you still have so much time to spread your wings. You can still do that later if you want. Or I would say maybe look into internships that you can do during the summertime that are not in the area that you live in. And they'll usually pay for your living wherever you go. So maybe, you know, do what you have to do during the school year and then find an internship elsewhere. Or another option is try to find some scholarships that will help cover your cost of living.
Yeah. I think the two most important questions I would have is what is your major and what is your family financial situation? Because if you have a safety net of like, you have grandparents in the picture, or you have a trust that, like, you know, maybe it's not like what you would consider a Gossip Girl trust fund, but like you have money that is yours in the bank that you can cash out in, I don't know, 20 years or something like that. Like, what is your safety net here? And what is your major? Because the return on investment is important, because sometimes, depending on what you're majoring in, undergrad is actually the time you will have the most money, and you will get poorer and poorer and poorer and taking out more and more loans. So I would just ask yourself those questions first. Like, are you wanting to go to grad school? Like, is this something that, like, when you, is this a degree that is going to take you a really long time to make a lot of money? Like, what is the salary cap of this degree? And like, what job that you want to have in the future? So I would ask yourself like those questions. And then if it's like, you know, it's comfortable, but it's not like, if you're going for like an arts degree or anything like that, like figure out how much loans you would have to take out and then think about like, okay, what do you want to do after school? Like, do you want to, are you going to save money and live at home and then like make money to move somewhere else? Like how, think of those things there that like loans are always going to be there. Like there's, especially when you get out of college, like you're always going to need money. And I think college is a really great time to be, like I always like say a lot of the time, not for everybody. It's kind of like a half adult, like you've got one foot in the door and then the other, like you still have the structure of school, which is familiar from like adolescence, but like you've got some more freedom in those things. Jumping into like full freedom is really scary and it's a hell of a lot of responsibility and it is inevitable. So it's just a matter of like, do you want to get there earlier and quicker and spend more time there? Or do you want to wait a little bit there? And I think your mental health is super important. And so I would say look into being an RA. Like that's like you, that you subs, I don't even think you pay for housing at all.
It depends on.
I think at my school, like you got free housing and then you also were paid for certain hours that you had to work X, Y, and Z. And then I would also say like, look into studying abroad, like look into those kinds of things. I think I would also make sure that crunch the numbers. Like I'm not a numbers person, but like crunch the numbers because you, like you said, you have to weigh all of the options in the sense of like school is the most, academics are the most important to you and the, your grades are the most important to you. So like how much are the loans that you would have to take out and how much would that weigh on your mental health? And then if you have to pay, paying those off in a timely manner that makes you feel safe and comfortable, how much are you going to have to work? And then how much time do you then have for the social life there? So like, I agree with you that I would have a negotiation with your parents and I would sit down, especially because you said they're totally cool with you moving out. To me, I do think that if they're like fine with you moving out, I think they might be receptive to a negotiation of being like, so I'm going to pay this. I'm going to pay this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to cook dinner this many times a week. I'm going to do these things that make it so it doesn't just feel like I'm a teenager living at home. So like give yourself more responsibility. I think it'll help you feel more independent. And in return, I will be going out on these nights of the week or X amount of nights. And I will, and like, if it's about like a safety thing, I don't know where you live. It's like, you can have my location on for these, when I'm going out, I will write down who I'm with. I'll tell, like, I'll give you some of that information. So like, you don't feel like they don't feel like they're totally in the dark, because I will say that's a huge part that I know it's the independence that you crave and you want. But if I had a friend who were in college together and I don't see her, I could name at least 15 times I've seen her in the last like 2 days, who I've seen her with, what, like all of those things, who she was wearing, what her friends' clothes were, all of that stuff. Your parents don't have that. Like they don't have that familiarity with like the location and the people and all of that. So like there's stress that comes there. So like acknowledging that and recognizing that it's not always people wanting to stifle you, and give them some like safety net, but like really break it all down in that way. And I would try that first before you cost out the loan aspect of it. And I do think that like having your parents be like annoyed with you, is not always also like the worst thing in the world. Like if you come home like late, like what happens if you say, I'm just going to like stay out late. Like how about we have a conversation about this? Like let's get down to the bottom of this and come to an agreement, as opposed to, it feels like they're really parenting you the same way they did. And it sounds like you're also kind of taking it the same way that you did. Mm-hmm. So, I think you should assert your independence as well as ask for it, like both, like show that you can handle that and show that you want to take that on. And you might find that like, oh, this is a lot easier than I realized. Like, I think like taking out a loan, I can like come up with a payment plan and I can do that to like what you feel comfortable with, but I don't think loans should be the first option when you have other options.
All right.
Hello, I graduated in December and finally got my first adult job. I'll be working in a corporate office for the first time. You'd think I'd be nervous about a new job, right? Nope, I'm actually feeling very confident in my new role. What I am nervous about is making friends. You know, the beginning of Mean Girls when Katie eats in the bathroom? Yeah, I feel like that's going to be me. I know this won't happen since, well, I'm an adult and I can always go eat in my car, but the anxiety stands. I did a couple of internships in college, but was usually with someone from school, so I didn't have this issue. Do I introduce myself to new people? Do I wait for them to introduce themselves to me? I have no clue. I'm so nervous. I'm getting anxious just typing this. Hopefully there aren't any typos. Do you have any advice on forming friendships or just meeting people in the workplace? Happy to hear some don't blame thems on this as well from any fellow listeners who have advice. Happy to follow up with an update on how making friends goes. LOL. Oh, almost forgot. I'm 23. She, her. I have anxiety reading this for you. This stresses me out. So please, you start.
You're just kicking it over to me.
Yeah, I need you to start.
The thing is that when I worked in jobs with other people, I did not want to hang out with them during my lunch break. I would go sleep in my car, or I would leave and go eat somewhere else because I did not want to hang out. So I am in a different boat. Like, but if that's what you want, cool. I felt like my break should be a break from the people. And, yeah. I'm not here to make friends, as they say.
So how do the people who you made friends with through like work environments? Cause like, that's not the air you give off. Like, I want to be your friend. So how do people that you end up being like, okay, you can be my friend. Like, how do they pass that threshold for you?
I think it's different though, because we don't work in like a corporate type job. And so most of the people that I've worked with when it comes to like, because we talk, we have podcasts where we're talking about personal things. And so that
it's like forced getting to know
different.
Each other.
Yeah. It's, you know, each other on a different level than you would in a corporate environment. We're not selling cereals. Like, we're not, we're talking about personal things. And so you kind of become friends because you are sharing things that people would share in a friendship.
So I was going to say, so this is my issue with this. So like, I'm always desperate to make friends. I'm always desperate for people to like me. I treat every interaction like it's a stand-up performance. And I've met like all of my friends through work. And that is because what I do on the podcast is something that I am incapable of not doing in everyday. Like, I just talk to people like I'm friends with them. And I think, I don't even know if this is like good advice, but like, I would just figure out like what your personality type is like. Like, I would even like ask your other friends, being like, okay, when we first became friends, like, what would you say is great about like, what drew you to me friendship wise or whatever, and then figure out who you like and who you're drawn to as a friend. And when I was like a little kid, my dad used to tell me a story. Like, I would sit at the playground and I would just watch the kids play at first. And then I would figure out who I liked and who I wanted to be friends with. And I would point to my dad and I would say them, and my dad would walk me over and be like, this is Megan. And then I would be like, okay, you can leave now. And then I'm like, hello. And like, I would be like so over the top, but like, I've always been like, I'm like always an observer. Like and I really appreciate when people are like, you've done the vetting beforehand of being like, I feel like I'm really going to vibe with these people, because then you're just hitting home runs. Like, you have they have a personality that you're like, oh, I really feel like I could mesh with. They remind me of a friend or whatever. And so they're probably going to be receptive to who you are and how you act. But I think if you like are like not super buttoned up and you're like, oh, I'm going to approach everybody like I should be friends with them, and you go to someone who's like super buttoned up and like not like anyone you've ever been friends with before, I think it's unrealistic to expect workplace friendships with people who share no common traits of friends you have outside of work. Like, yeah. I think you can have friends that like are like, I love when people do like TikToks of being like, me and my work bestie, and it's like a 20-year-old like girl and like a 65-year-old old man. Like, yes, like maybe your circles wouldn't have crossed naturally, but like people will have similar traits or personalities. But I also like, I have like such bad social anxiety, which for me is like very much tied to ADHD and like being like too much and like performing and like being on and all that stuff. But like the best things I've ever had is when people are like, I would love to be your friend, or like, hey, I have no one to sit with like for lunch. Like, could I come hang out with you? I think people tend to be very friendly, usually overly friendly in an office when you first start. Like, there's like, oh, like this kind of a thing. But I think observing and shooting your shot friendship wise with people who feel like comfortable to you, people who feel like people you already know. And I think that even translates to like our job and like what we do. Like, there are certain people who I'm like, oh, this person reminds me of this person, or this person will like this person because you've got this, this, and this. But as far as like the workplace, corporate, you know, circle back, all of those things, yeah, please some don't blame them. Cause like, I have no idea how I wouldn't be good with that. Cause like, I need people to be very direct.
I would. Okay. So I'm now putting myself in this position. If I actually like wanted to be friends with somebody in a corporate environment, I'm thinking about how like I make friends anyway. If I just like somebody, I will let them know that like I think they're cool. I would go, I think like if it's like a lunch type situation, just walk up to a table of people that, like Megan said, feel familiar to you and be like, is the seat taken? And sit down, introduce yourself to people, fill people out. Also, don't engage with somebody that in the first week of knowing you, they're already giving you like gossip about other people, because that means that you'll open up to them and they'll gossip about you. But yeah, I think just introduce yourself to people, find out, maybe have some like intro question that you have, like an icebreaker type question. I hate icebreakers, but it might be, you seem like the person that probably enjoys them. And just ask people questions, ask people about the work culture, just fill people out in the same way that you fill out actual like non-work people, in the same way you would make friends in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you should be able to tell who's friendly and like, who's like a like person you can sit with, and just know that like those people have also all been new, and there have had people who've been new, who've done this before. So, it's not going to be like a brand new experience. But yeah, I mean like I literally have a specific subtype of person when I'm like in a room where I'm uncomfortable and I don't know people, that I automatically gravitate towards. It is men who look like Kyle, and it is communications majors and people who work in like the social media side of things. Like, I can just seek them out, and it's not even that I know that those are their professions or I know that that's what they're like, but it's just like, I can observe people talking to each other and be like, that looks like my friend's not talking. Like, yeah, that looks like this. And even something as simple as like, you look like someone's outfit, just being like, oh my gosh, like this is, that's so cute. Like, I think giving a friendly, like a, that to me is like, not like an olive branch, but like whatever, like a friendship version of that is, where I'm going, I clock, this person isn't just trying to be polite workplace friends. Like, this person like wants to get to know me, or like, yeah, oh, like, where are you? Like, oh, like you're listening to this. Like, oh, I love that song. Like, I love that music. I will be like, oh, you want to be my friend. And like, that's kind of like disarming for me. So I think like making sure that like what you're saying is not looking like, hey, I'm looking for a mentor. Like, it doesn't come across like work related, but still, again, professional, not inappropriate. To me, that's really handy when I can like tell that like that's what we're switching in between, that like, yeah, oh, okay, this is a friendship moment, like this is, yeah, what that is.
I just, in talking, I just realized, like, when I talked about when I went to like the Penguin Random House holiday party, I didn't know, I knew one person there, no, two people there. One I'd met in person because they were the person that like got me into directing audiobooks, and then the other one I knew because she's a narrator, but we also have a mutual friend, which we figured out while I was narrating the book. And so then like we knew each other from that, but I knew it was probably like 100 people in there. Those are the only people I knew. They knew a lot of other people because before the pandemic, when you did audiobooks, you would direct in the same place. I started the week when everything shut down. I never met anybody and I didn't know what most people look like anyway. So I was just going around introducing myself to people and figuring things out. There was one person that I realized, like, we had worked on an audiobook together, and like, I thought we vibed over like the audiobook, but like in real life, we didn't really vibe. And I just moved on. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal. Like, that's not somebody that, you know, I would be friends with. They were fine, but they're just not somebody I would be friends with. And I met a lot of new people that I'd never even worked with. And like, we became friends on Instagram and stuff. So like, I think just talking to people, just talk, move around, yeah. Talk.
I mean, truthfully, what I would do, and like, I don't want to give you this advice, because if this is not in your instinct, do not do it, because I would not say that this is a tip or a trick. I would say this is a brain thing. I have such a need to know everyone, the room that I'm walking into, and like know the circumstance situation. Like, I'm someone who like looks at a restaurant. I have to look at the menu. I have to look at parking. I have to do a Google Maps, like street view walking, what it's going to look like, where I'm going to put all, and I have to get there early. And usually I'll do a drive by. Like, I used to have to go to school before, like the week before school even started, to like walk around to like make sure I knew where my classrooms were and all of that kind of thing. Cause I get overwhelmed very easily. I would also not saying for you to do this. I would look up who I'm working with. I would look them up on LinkedIn, and then I would look them up on Instagram.
Look up anybody every time, all the time.
But then I'm always looking people up. I'm judging a book by its cover. I'm looking at where this person went to school. I'm looking at like what extracurriculars that they've did. And I'm looking at their vibe check. I'm looking if we have mutual friends. I'm looking at their interests. And then I'm being like, okay, cool. This is who I'm probably going to be friends with. Like, this is who I'm going to like reach out to, or like see that this person started more recently than I did. So I think that like, that might, if that feels unnatural to you, don't do that. It would be unnatural for me to not do that. Like, I do that even before I meet new people. I will like ask Mots, like if it's like a mutual friend, I'll be like, so like, what do they do? Where do they go to school? And then I'll ask them all of those questions. But like, I want to know those things. So I don't know. Like, I just like to be prepared. Like, I want to know what not to ask about. I want to know, you know, all of those kinds of things. And it makes me feel better equipped. But if that's not in your instinct, don't do it. But if it is your instinct, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, we're going to take another break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Time for
another call.
Oh, it is a call. I was looking as if I was going to read it.
Hey, Megan and Melissa. Love the podcast. I would really just like your feedback on dealing with a racist boss. So I've been dealing with this racist boss for a while now. I put in my notice to leave. But before that, I tried to go to HR, and they basically told me I didn't have enough evidence, I guess, to prove what's going on. And she's basically been, since I put in my resignation, she's been making my life a living hell. I would just love to know, like, when someone's being really petty with you, you know what I mean? And you're like trying to rise above it and it's so hard. What's a way that you can like kill them with kindness, but also let them know not to like fuck with you? Does that make sense? I have about 2 weeks left, so I would love some feedback on this. Yeah, and HR makes it really hard. And I know that HR is supposed to be protective of our rights, right? So, it's just been really difficult. And discrimination at work, I feel like I keep getting the same runaround where it's like very hard to prove that this is happening, you know? Would love some feedback. I hope you guys have a great day. Thank you. Bye.
HR, I want everyone to cement this in your brain. HR is there to protect the company, not you. HR is there to protect the company, not you. So unless you have actual evidence, they're just going to sweep it under the rug because they don't care about you. They care about the company. You didn't give any specific examples of how the boss has been racist. That might be part of the problem. You need to have like specific examples. Anytime any incident happens, write it down, make note, give a time, the day, what exactly happened, who was around at the time. And like, if you did anything proactive or, you know, to say anything to combat what they said. You say that you're trying to like kill them with kindness type of thing where you're being nice. Maybe that is not the right move because you're leaving. You have nothing to lose. If they're making your life a living hell,
bitch, I'm Satan.
Right. Why not bring them with you? Like, yeah. you literally have nothing to lose. Do you have another job lined up? If you have another job lined up, I would ask them if I could go ahead and start because giving 2 weeks notice is a courtesy. It's not something that's required unless you have some type of contract. So like if you can start your other job early, go for it. But why be nice when you can be nasty?
Yeah. And I would also read your contract because I don't think they're going to give you a glowing reference. But
if you already have a job, it doesn't matter.
But I was going to say, though, I think that the killing with kindness is, again, read your contracts. Usually after you leave, there'll be like non-disparaging ones. Not so much while you're there. That's not so much that. So like, I think telling your coworkers, being like, your boss walks into the room and be like, oh my God, you were just telling me that super racist thing you said to me earlier. What was that again? And like, say it in front of other people who work there. Tell your coworkers what your boss is doing. Like, tell your coworkers that HR is not protecting you. And again, like, this is with you have another job lined up, but a lot of the time you can, you can't fucking say a word after you're gone. But like, while you're there, what are they going to do? Fire you? Yeah.
Right.
Then you're already fired, but now you have.
And if you get fired, then guess what? You can collect unemployment.
Yeah. So I agree in the whole sense of like, you do not need to kill them with kindness because you're not even being, you're not being met with that. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's kill them with accountability. And it's not like a, oh, like closed door, hush talk. We actually don't have any evidence of this. And we're going to make you feel really like small and like stupid for this. So like you feel like you're complaining about nothing and you don't feel like you have any safe people here. So you keep your mouth shut. Instead, what you can do then is make a fucking fuss. Tell your coworkers, mm-hmm. talk about it loudly in front of other people. Talk about it when your boss walks in the room, get it written in email, follow up in the emails, like make it so the environment that they have created, that they've made you exist in, that they have to fucking exist in that. Like, I think that's the response. And I also would, because you also didn't include any examples, I would wonder, did you, your conversation with HR and saying that you don't, they said you don't have significant evidence of this. Have you gotten a other perspective on it? Cause like they can also just be telling you that and you do. So I'm sure that you could even probably call the ACLU and they could like connect you to like a local organization just to even be like, hey, can I run this? Like, does this sound right? Like, does this sound like there's not enough evidence for this? Or is it like company to company? Because I think that you also, I hope hearing from us is validating, but I also think it might be really validating for you to hear from someone in a professional environment in your area to be like, yeah, no, that's not like, that's not okay. They should be in trouble for that. And then also like there are different places, whether it's like Glassdoor writing reviews for like your company that you worked for. But, you know, I think sharing, depending on the circumstance, I always think people get very afraid of local news, mm-hmm. of stories going around, of those kinds of things, or like warning people, don't work here. They like, this is what's happening X, Y, and Z. But I think like they've made this such a hell for you that I think you're also probably starting to like, your instinct right now is to kill them with kindness when you haven't been met with, you've been met with like racism and like total disrespect, that, that can be so isolating that you then start to question all of that. So I would let the rage happen and not internalize this and take this with you to your next job, because like, mm-hmm. this is on them, not you whatsoever. And you don't have to be a consummate professional when someone's being racist.
Correct.
And I'm sorry, this is just, I'm mad for you. This is one of those things where people are like, don't talk badly about people online. And I'm like, talk badly about these people online.
Mm-hmm.
Name and shame.
All right. Now we're going to have a don't blame them. What's don't blame them, Megan?
Oh my God, I'm so glad you asked, Melissa. Don't blame them is where a listener will call in with their own advice pertaining to a call that we had on a previous episode. So it could be that they have personal experience with it, they've lived it, or they watch someone close to them live it, or they have, it's in their job field, their education field, or they just have an opinion that they would like to share that they think might be helpful.
All right, well, we had one where someone was talking about splitting chores with their partner, and the dude like wasn't splitting chores, even though that the caller or writer, I don't remember if it's a caller or writer, works from home and goes to school, and then also was expected to do all the household chores. And someone wrote in and said, as a guy, what is scary about this is that I only just got better about doing dishes this year myself. And I think their advice was spot on, talking about us. Spot on. I had never thought about it, but growing up, dishes were always done by somebody else. Though the caller's boyfriend sounds like one of those we ain't wrong, we ain't sorry types. If he wants to grow his relationship, he needs to be both wrong and sorry.
Wow, that's a very good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Being wrong and being sorry. Damn, yeah. My nipples got hard at that. I'm gonna have to tell I'm putting that in my pocket to use again, because that's a very great way to explain, like, when someone's like, "No, I get it. I'm sorry. I'm like," or like, "I'm like, you know, you're right. I'm wrong. And then it's like, "Yeah, I'm sorry." And it's like, no. I actually do believe that you think you know that you're wrong in this, but like, the sorry part, like, you have to acknowledge both, because without both, you're right, there's no change. Like, there has to be the, for lack of a better word, like, repenting for it. Acknowledge your sins, repent for those sins.
Mm-hmm. It's very good. Very good. That actually came off someone making a comment on a Patreon video. So,
oh my God, what a great promo for our Patreon. Look how many intelligent, wonderful, gorgeous, fantastic people are on our Patreon. Do you want to be friends with them? Can you not make friends at your corporate job? Just join our Patreon. You can be friends with them. We'll make Erica wear a blazer. She'll be your new corporate friend. Who else could be a corporate friend? Erica's the only one to me that has like a corp, like, because,
yeah,
you know, who else could be, who's corporate-y? We have a lot of teachers. We have a lot of,
healthcare professionals.
Yeah.
But
we have a lot of people though who would say, like, call me by my first name. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
I feel like everybody else has.
Mary will wear a blazer, but it will be totally improv. It will just be Mary will cosplay. Join our Patreon. It's like, it's so much fun. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. And I recommend to anybody who is moving, has a new job, or is like going through like a friendship transition, or is you know, immunocompromised, and or also just cognizant and aware of the absolute boom in COVID with the constant uptick, who wants to have friends and social interactions in a safe way.
Yeah, perfect. Perfectly said.
It's wonderful. I so badly want to make a joke about, but they're new. And they already told us about the thing that they're worried about when they said the thing. And they were like, I'm so worried everyone thought this. And just know, if you're listening, I really want to make a joke about that. I'm not going to, because I know you're worried about it. But just know that the reason why I want to make a joke about it is because I think it's so funny. And not in like, I'm laughing at the fact that you're worried about it, but just like, you so had nothing to worry about. I told Moss that too. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, and you had to be there. Whatever.
Maybe if he paid to be on our Patreon, he would get the joke.
He won't.
All right. Well, if you want to participate, all the information is down in the show notes. TTYL.
Goodbye. Don't Blame Me is a production by me, Megan Rinks.
And me, Melissa DeMonts, plus Diamond Imprint Productions.
Post-production sound and editing by Coco Lorenz.
Production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.
And music by Giacomo Picasso and Ryan Hunter.